Messiah. Think about that Savior, the Messiah, that God would send to die on the cross for our sins. So praise God for that. There's hope today because there's Jesus. There's hope today because there's a God that loves us. You know, it's awesome today that God is not against us, He's for us, that He did not create us to abuse us and misuse us, but that He created us in His image, that He created us to have a relationship with Him, to know Him. Very sadly, man did what we have done, and that's man sinned against God. God told Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that thou mayest not eat thereof. Okay? They could eat every tree that was in the garden. They could freely eat. They had access to so many good things, but they did what you and I have done, and that is they transgressed God's law. The day they did that, death came to man. You might wonder, and say to me as a preacher, Ben, if there is a God, why is there death? Why is there heartache? Why is there sorrow? Why is there war and the difficulties that are here in life? They're not because God created it that way. When God created it, God said every day as He created, He said, and it was good. It was good. Well, we know death, sorrow, sickness aren't good. And so what happened is man sinned against God. Death, sorrow, sickness are a result of man's sin. Jesus Christ came to pay the price for that on the cross. You might wonder, why is it then that the Savior had to come and die? Jesus Christ had to come and die because He had to pay the price for our sin. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, it says, for the wages of sin is death. The punishment for our sin is eternity in a lake of fire. It's eternity away from God. The sinless Son of God, the man that knew no sin, as the Bible says, became sin for us so that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Jesus Christ came and Jesus Christ died so that you and I could be forgiven. It's only through the shedding of His blood that we can be cleansed. But it's an awesome thing today to think that our sins could be forgiven, that our heart could be made clean. You might look at your life and say, you know, Ben, what I'd like more than anything as I come into 2024 is a new life. Well, look, God is willing to give that to you. The Bible says if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You know, there's things in life that the devil says satisfy. There's drink, drugs, immorality, and things like that. But those that try those things, what they find is they're empty, they're addictive, and they're destructive. They destroy men's lives. There's plenty of people today that can stand in this street and testify that their marriage has been wrecked, their family has been wrecked because of drugs, drink, alcohol, immorality, or things like that. Those things are sin. Sin destroys. The Bible says about sin, the end of sin is death. Jesus Christ came to set us free from that. He came to die on the cross so that He could pay the price for our sins, so not only we could be forgiven of our sins, but He could give us His gift of everlasting life and victory over that which was destroying our life. Jesus Christ has the power to set men free. It's an awesome thing to think today that somebody that is bound by drugs, drink, alcohol, immorality, or other addictions like that, that there is hope for you today because there is God. There's a God of mercy, there's a God of grace, there's a God of forgiveness, there's a God who loves you so much that He's willing to take the price of your sin upon Himself on the cross of shame. That cross of shame was the cross of pain, it was the cross of difficulty, but our Lord did not avoid that for us. You know, very sadly today there's a lot of people today doing nothing for God. The God that gave them life, the God that gave them family, the God that gave them their job. The worst thing about an atheist today is that that atheist never thanks the person that has given them everything that they have in their life. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of life, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. God in His mercy gave us everything that we have. We ought to stop today, no matter who we are, bow our heads and say to God, God, thank You for Your grace. God, thank You for Your goodness. God, thank You for Your love. God, thank You for my family. Thank You for loving me so much that Your Son, Jesus Christ, most of all, died on that cross for my sins. Praise God, 2,000 years ago, the Lord Jesus Christ did that great work for us on the cross of Calvary. That story is the ultimate story in life because it's the story of our salvation. It's the story of the only way that anybody here today could honestly quote that Psalm, Psalm 23, and say, the Lord is my shepherd. A lot of people want to have that at their funeral. But in life, they have nothing to do with God. In life, they're not following God, not pleasing God, not obeying God, not bowing before God and worshiping God for who He is. And they think someday at my funeral, I'm going to have that shepherd psalm read there at my funeral. And that shepherd psalm is a precious psalm. It says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. Would to God that everybody passing this place today knew Jesus Christ as their shepherd. But the thing is today, if you're not following Jesus Christ, then you're not His sheep. The Bible says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Somebody that's following God as their shepherd is not somebody that's going to be living a life of drink, drugs, immorality, and godliness, profanity, or things like this. Know this today, that if you see somebody like that professes faith in God, that they are a hypocrite. They're not a true follower of Jesus Christ. Anybody that truly follows Jesus Christ is going to be treated as Jesus Christ is treated. Jesus Christ was crucified, he was mocked, he was cursed, he was spat upon, he was abused and misused by men because he stood for what's right and he stood for what's true. He said to his brothers, "The world cannot hate me, but me and hate it because I testify of it that the works here are evil." You know, Jesus Christ lovingly was the light as he came into this world. Jesus Christ was the light as he came into this world. The Bible says men love darkness rather than light because of deeds are evil. The number one reason people today do not want to believe in God, do not want to believe in Jesus Christ, is because the light dispels the darkness that's in their life. The darkness that is justifying sin and says sin is okay, abusing myself is okay, abusing others is okay. Sin always violates our life. Sin always violates our relationship with God. Men today are seeking to justify themselves in the eyes of men. They want politicians, educators, and scientists to defend their sin. But the thing is today, no matter how many people gather together today and say, "I believe that this sin is okay or this sin is okay," the fact is God's word still remains true. The Bible says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in the heavens." God has not changed his mind. God has not changed his truth about sin because sin is the very thing that separates us from God. It's a thing that takes us away from the blessing of knowing God. Friends, today, if you don't know God, you don't know what life's all about. Life is all about walking with God, knowing your Creator, having somebody that is great that you can go to in time of need, bow your head and pray, and know that God hears you. I would to God today, again, everybody out there would know the truth of knowing Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." The greatest desire in the heart of God today as he looks at this crowd that's passing this place today is that every single individual, no matter their age, no matter their gender, no matter their ethnicity or anything like that, that they would come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. That's the greatest desire in the heart of God. He wants that so much that he took his Son, Jesus Christ, and he crucified him on a cross for your sins. Jesus did that because that's the only way for our sin to be forgiven. That's the only way for our sin to be taken care of. It's only through the blood. The Bible says without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. It's only as the lifeblood poured from the wounds of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. It's only as he died in our place, as he declared those words there on the cross, he said, "It is finished." It means paid in full. It means there's nothing else for us to do. It's not about being religious, being baptized, being christened, or anything like that. It's about accepting by faith what Jesus Christ did on the cross, that he did that for you, that he died on the cross for your sin, that he paid the price, that he didn't stay in the grave, but that he rose from the dead. You know, praise God today for a God like that. A God that made a way for our sin to be forgiven. A God that made a way for the death that's in our life, the death that's going to take us to eternity in the lake of fire, that he made a way for us to be forgiven. You know, hell is an awful place. There's a lot of people today, they pass this spot. Sometimes I preach on hell, and they laugh about that, and they mock that idea about hell. But I'll tell you this, if you saw somebody in a burning vehicle, you'd not laugh at the fire. You'd not mock the fire. If you laughed at the fire, you mocked the fire, you mocked the person that's in there, you wouldn't care anything about them. I'll tell you this, there are people in hell today, there's probably people that you know in hell today, and they're there burning. Anybody that laughs at that place or mocks that place, mocks those people that are in that place for all eternity. God doesn't want us to go there. In fact, Jesus Christ, again, loved us so much that he died on the cross so that he could forgive us of our sin, so that when we die, we not have to perish and go to the lake of fire. But the Bible says about those that had not Jesus Christ as their Savior, it says this. It says, "He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have everlasting life." There's a lot of people in religion like Catholicism that say things like this. They say, "I think I'll go to heaven," or "I hope I'll go to heaven." I'll tell you this, God didn't send his Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sins so that we could think we're going to heaven or hope we're going to heaven. He came, he died, so that we could know beyond a shadow of a doubt that if we died, we'd wake up in the presence of God. The Bible says for a believer to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. But the Bible says about somebody that's unsaved, that when they die and in hell, lifting up their eyes, they will be in torment. The Bible speaks about hell. The sounds that you hear in hell are weeping and gnashing of teeth. The Bible says, where the worm dieth not, that means that anybody that goes to hell is there for all eternity, separated from God in the fires of hell. You ask me today, what's the worst thing about hell? It's not that it's a fire. It's not that it's eternal. It's that God is not there. In this life right now, anybody, no matter who they are, they could be a gang banger, they could be a drug addict, they could be immoral, they could be a sexual pervert, but I'll tell you this, they could be forgiven by the grace of God through the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ and His shed blood. But I'll tell you this, when somebody dies and they go to hell, it's eternally too late and they're forever separated from God. It's a very sad thing to think about that. You know, again, in life, now's our chance. Now's our opportunity. The Bible says it's appointed unto men once to die, but after that, the judgment. We don't get a do-over. Nobody gets to die and get up off that, out of that coffin and say, you know, I'd like a chance to start over. I want to go find out about God. It's too late. A lot of people today, they're too busy to find God. They're too addicted to find God. They're too into their sports to find God. They're too into their mates and their pals and things like that to find God. But I'll tell you this, it is not worth going to hell because of what your friends think. It's not worth going to hell because you're too busy. It's not worth going to hell because you're too addicted to sin. I tell you this, now is the time to pick up a Bible, begin to read it, and begin to think about God, consider who God is and the love of God for us. Oh, it's amazing today. The Bible says that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. But scarcely for a righteous man would one die. But God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came. He died on that cross for you. Your name might be Becky, it might be Mary, it might be Elizabeth, it might be Paul, John, Mark. It doesn't matter today what your name is. Jesus Christ, when He died on the cross for you. He paid the price so that you could be forgiven. He made a way for you to have access to God again. It's only through the shed blood of Christ that we can go before God because our sin separates us from God. The Bible says our iniquities are marked before Him. So God walks through with neither and 50 much salt. It doesn't matter today. It doesn't matter today how much somebody tries to clean up their life. They can try to be religious, they can try to do good things, but things like that, but doing good things, being religious, doesn't take away our sin. There's only one thing that can take away our sin, and that's the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and what He did on the cross for us. Friend, do you know that today? Do you know the mercy of God? Do you know the goodness of God? Do you know the grace of God? Can you look me in the eye today and say, man, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that if I were to die, I'm going to heaven. It's not because I'm a good person. It's not because I'm a religious person. It's because I personally put my faith in Jesus Christ. Has there been a time when you humbled your heart to look at the cross and understood that the Son of God, Jesus Christ, died on the cross for your sin? That He paid the price, the complete price, and there's nothing more for you to do except by faith to look at the Son of God, understanding that what you did was sufficient, that God accepted that in your place, and you believed on the Son of God and received God's gift of everlasting life. Our friend, there's nothing to laugh at. There's nothing to mock. You're just joining those that stood at the cross, that spat on the Lord Jesus Christ, that put the crown of thorns upon His head, that nailed the nails into His hands and laughed at Him and mocked Him in that place. Don't be like those people that crucified Christ. Be like those that humbled their heart, accepting Jesus Christ as their Savior. Be somebody that would be real about life. Look at life and say, hey, you know, I may not be that bright, but I know this. One man, one woman, and a covenant relationship before God called marriage makes the strongest family unit that there is. We ought to have courage today that are exalting the family unit that God ordained. One man, one woman for life, not divorce, not fornication, not anything other than what God said, because that is the building block of society. Where the people that will stand up and defend that and say, you know, that makes a lot of sense. That would be good for kids. That would be good for families. Where are those that will be honest about sin? Where are those that look at the drink that is being abused here on Friday nights and Saturday nights and people are working all week to go to the pub on the weekend and drinking and then going to work all week to go to the pub on the weekend. It's an empty cycle of life. It is meaningless. It is wasting their life. It is wasting their money. It is wasting their health. Where are the people that are real about that? Look at that and say, you know what? Maybe it would be good to get back to the Bible. Maybe it'd be good to look at that book again and consider who God is and have families that actually teach their kids respect and to teach them to respect authority, teach them to respect their teachers and to teach them to respect other people by looking at what the Word of God says about sin. That it's wrong to steal. that it's wrong to be immoral, that it's wrong to use profanity. The Bible says that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. We live in a very profane world. It used to be shameful for men to swear, but it was unthinkable for women to swear. It was unthinkable for children to swear, but in our day, we've got older women that are more profane than sailors used to be back in their day. We've got children today that are using profanity like nothing. They don't think about it. Every other word is the word for it. Where's the world that will wake up and say, hey, maybe it's time to get back to God. Maybe it's time to clean up our lives by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, not conforming our life to something, but transforming our life through the power of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So praise God, today God has the power, the Scottish government does not. Educators do not. It doesn't matter how powerful somebody is in this life, they don't have the power to help you. They don't have the power to change you. But I'll tell you, there is one person. He's a person of power. He's the creator of God, the designer of God, the sustainer of this universe. He's the one that came and died on the cross for our sin. He made a way by the grace of God for us to be forgiven. We ought to bow today before Him. We ought to get on our face before Almighty God. We ought to exalt the name of God today rather than hearing God's name used as profanity. It ought to be often heard in Scotland that, hey, God is good, God is faithful, God met my needs, and praises to God ought to be the way that we hear the name of God. But our young people today, they go to a sporting event, all they hear is the name of God taken in vain. I'll tell you this, when you hear the name of God taken in vain, think about this. You don't hear, oh, the Pope, or hear Krishna, or Muhammad. But you do hear Jesus, Christ, and Lord. Why? Because Jesus Christ is God. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for He will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. You may not even think about it, but I'll tell you this. Don't be deceived, thinking somehow you've gotten away with using profanity or using the name of God in vain. Someday you'll stand before a holy God and give an account. Friend, are you ready for that day? If idle words are going to be judged by a holy God, think about this. That wickedness that you've committed against somebody else, maybe nobody else knows about it. That abuse that you've given, that abuse, the way that you hurt somebody, whether you stole from them, whether you molested them or anything like that. Think about this. Someday you're going to stand before a holy God. Every single one of us ought to prepare for that day. God doesn't want us to stand there in fear. He doesn't want to stand there in trembling. He doesn't want to cast us into a lake of fire for all eternity. He's done everything that He can to save us from our sins, including taking His Son, His only Son, Jesus Christ, and crucifying Him on a cross of shame for our sin. I praise God today for a God that loves you that much. I look at you today, I don't know you. I don't know anybody that's passing by this place. I'll tell you, there's somebody in heaven that not only knows you, He knows your thoughts. He knows your heart. He knows the battles that are in your life. He knows the hopelessness that might be there that nobody else knows about. It is not just possible today that suicidal people are passing this place. It is more than probable. It is factually true that there would be some that would pass this place today. They're thinking about taking their life. They might even have an instrument of death already in their home. But I'll tell you this, they don't need to despair. They don't need to cast off hope of life, because there's a God in heaven that loves them. There's a God in heaven that designed them. There's a God in heaven that can save them right away. Jesus Christ has that power today. I've seen it in my own ministry in the last 6 months. I saw a man that was about ready to take his life, but by the grace of God, he received Jesus Christ as his Savior. He would testify to you today that he found the one thing that was lacking in his life that he needed more than anything, and that was God. Well, friend, do you have God in your life today? I'm not asking today if you believe in God. I'm not asking today if you think there is a God. I'm asking you this. Do you know God in a personal way? Because it's not about religion. It's about a relationship. It's not about knowing about God. It's about knowing God in a personal way. It's about being able to bow your head at night, pray to God, and know God hears you. It's about seeing God at work in your life, seeing Him direct you, seeing Him guide you, seeing Him encourage you. There is a real God today. It's not religion. Religion is empty. I don't blame people that walk away from Catholicism. I don't blame people that walk away from a religion that's empty, a religion that's just rhetoric and just liturgical, and a religion that is empty and cold and callous as the buildings and cathedrals that they are seeking to worship God in. But I'll tell you this, there is a relationship that you can have with God, a relationship that's worth having. You ought to find a church that has that relationship and teaches the Bible as true. You know, praise God today for the truth of the Word of God. Praise God, He's given us a book above all books. This book has been outsold every book every year. It's been translated into more languages than any other book. It's 66 books, 44 human authors, written over 1,500 years. And this book all agrees because the author is not man, the author is God. You know, the BBC can say this legend, Chinese whisper story. They can abuse the Bible by slandering the Bible, but they can't disprove it because this book is true beginning to end. It's historically accurate. It's archaeologically accurate. It's prophetically accurate. You know, the Bible says that in the last days, Israel's going to be back in the land. You know, what do you find since 1947 or 48, Israel's back in the land? You know what? You can look at that and say, well, that just kind of happened. But I'll tell you this. The other nation has been dispersed abroad, abused by so many people, has been mistreated, has been hated, has kept their national identity, has returned to their own homeland, just as the Bible says. You got to read the book of Revelation. In the book of Revelation, it says there's going to be a one world government, one world religion, one world economy, a cashless society. You know what we find in our day? We find we're heading to a one world religion, one world economy, and a cashless society. It's just like the Word of God says. Anybody that can read the Bible or get into the book of Revelation, begin to read it and consider what the Word of God says about that, because it says there's going to be a man that's going to rise up and present himself as the Christ. He's going to solve the problem supposedly of peace in the Middle East. It's going to be a false peace. It's going to be a false Antichrist. But I'll tell you this, that temple that the Bible speaks about that's going to be built for the Antichrist, there on the Temple Mount, all the things necessary for it are already there. Look it up. The Temple Institute in Jerusalem already has it. It's just like the Word of God said. As you may ask me, why do I believe the Bible? I believe the Bible because it's prophetically accurate. It said that Jesus Christ was coming, and that's when you find out, you know, 600 years before Jesus Christ came, the Bible said He was coming. 1,000 years before Jesus Christ came, it said they pierced His hands and His feet. They cast lots upon His vesture. You can read it for yourself in Psalm 22 in the Bible. When you see things 1,000 years before they take place, or 600 years before they take place, and then they take place, it ought to encourage you to pick up a Bible and say, wow, only God can reveal that. God has that power. Praise God, has that power to give you everlasting life. He has the power to change your life in ways that you couldn't dream possible. The Bible says that any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. God alone has that power. You know, I praise God today. If somebody can get off drugs, they can get off drinks, they can morally, you know, correct their life or something like that, I rejoice in that. But I'll tell you this, they will never have forgiveness for the sins that they committed until they come to Christ. They'll never have the victory that God can give them until they come to Christ. There's something about the power of God to change it from the inside out. The only thing that you and I can do is change ourselves from the outside in. But we can't change our heart. The Bible says, though thou wash thee with nitre and take thee much soap, yet thine iniquity is marked before me, saith the Lord. We can try to clean up the outside, and hey, maybe we can do a pretty good job. But I'll tell you this, we can't get it right until God makes it right. You can't be the dad God wants you to be until you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. The granddad, the grandmother, that God wants you to be until you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. You can't be the friend that you ought to be until you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. There's no way that as a sinful person that's never dealt with my sin, honestly, I can be what God intends me to be. But by the grace of God, through the power of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, you can be forgiven. Oh, I praise God for that today. God said it this way, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. God has the power to change us. God has the power to set us free. God has a great desire today in His heart to impact your life. Not in a bad way, in a very positive way, but I'll tell you this. You've got to be honest about your sin. Nobody today can come to God with their sin and say, God, right, I'd like to have you and my sin. Sin is what put Christ on the cross. Sin is what crucified the Son of God. Sin is the thing that's an offense to a holy God. To think today that I can come to God and say, God, I'd like you and my sin. It doesn't work. It's either or. No man can serve two masters. And so we have to be honest about our sin. We have to deal with our sin in the sight of a holy God. That means we have to recognize that we're sexual sinners. We have to recognize that there's immorality that's in our life. We can't justify ourselves in the sight of God. As men are seeking to do, they're seeking to defend their fornication. They're seeking to defend the homosexuality, lesbianism, transgenderism, things like that. And there's people that say, you can have that, you can have God. I'll just tell you this, you can't. I'm not going to lie to people today as a preacher of the Word of God and say what some religions are saying, that you can take those things and agree those things together. You can't put light and darkness together. If somebody wants God, they got to come to the light. God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. There's not a little bit of darkness in God or some darkness in God. God is perfect light. He is perfectly holy. Therefore, to walk with God, I've got to deal with my sin. My sin is the very thing that separates me from God. How do I deal with that? Well, we deal with that through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's through what He did as He died on the cross for our sins. He was punished for us. The chastisement of our peace is upon Him. The Bible speaks about, with His stripes we are healed. He says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him, Jesus, the iniquity of us all. Jesus Christ, as he died, in our place. Oh, we rejoice in the Christmas season. We rejoice in the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. We rejoice in that shepherd's statement, unto you is born this day in the city of David, the Savior, which is Christ the Lord, that the angels heralded that message to the shepherds. And we rejoice in that message. And I rejoice in that today to say to Edinburgh, to say to us that there is a Savior, that there is a God that is willing to save us. There's a God that's willing to set us free for our 10 days. Just like the shepherds, you got to go to that God. Just like the shepherds, you got to seek Him. The Bible says, if you shall seek me and find me, if you search with all your heart. A lot of people search really hard for drugs. They search really hard for drink. They search really hard for immorality. But where are the people that are seeking for God? Where are the people that are picking up a Bible and say, I'm going to give God a chance? I'll tell you this. You might say to me, Ben, the Bible's a big book. You know, where do I start? I encourage you to begin at the book of John. The book of John, at the end of it says, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through His name. That book was written to introduce us to the person of Christ, that He was the Messiah, that He was the good man, the healer that would deliver people from the problems that they were facing, but also the person that could deliver them from their sin. He was the person that could change them from the inside out. Again, I'm talking to a lot of people today. Nobody knows the struggles that you're facing, but God does. And God understands this. Your sin doesn't satisfy. A life outside of God doesn't satisfy. You might feel like, you know, I've lived my whole life, and I just feel like there's something that's missing. I'll tell you, there is something missing if you don't know God. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, there's a big hole that is in your heart, a hole that is in your life, because there's a God in heaven that made you and designed you, and He designed you to have fellowship with Him. That was the original intent of God in His original creation. He would come down to the Garden of Eden, and He would walk with man and talk with man in that place. But when man sinned, man separated himself from God. And friend, that's your life today. You might say, Ben, what's the biggest thing keeping me and God apart? And the biggest thing is sin. Sin is the separator. Sin is the thing that hides the face of God from us and then cannot hear us. He will not hear us until we deal with our sin. We deal with our sin by looking at the cross and understanding the Son of God, Jesus Christ, died on the cross for our sins and putting our faith in Him. I say to you today, friend, if you want to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, I just say what the Apostle Paul said. He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That's a precious statement in the Word of God. You know, God that cannot lie said, I tell you what, the one thing you need to do is look at the cross. Understand what the Son of God did when He died on the cross for you. Believe on the Son of God. If you do that, you can have my gift of everlasting life. Friend, it's an awesome thing today. Christmas is not about presents, it's not about trinkets, it's not about all the bells and whistles that we enjoy, we see, and things like that. It is about the Messiah. It is about the Son of God. It is about Jesus Christ. It is about the love of God. The very sad thing today is that people can entertain themselves to hell. They can entertain themselves to a place of utter destruction. They can waste their life going after drugs, drink, immorality, and things like that, living an empty life, a pointless life, but brings other people that sober up. Praise God, there's people that begin to pick up a Bible, begin to study it, and begin to think about who God is. Friend, which are you today? Are you living a life that's valueless? Are you living a life that's empty? Is your church the problem? Are you worshiping at the altar of drink and drugs and immorality and things like that? It is empty. It doesn't satisfy. It can't satisfy. It won't satisfy. Friend, we have Jesus Christ. Father, I pray today, by the grace of God, people get saved. I pray the Spirit of God would awaken the hearts of your people in Edinburgh. I pray, God, they'd be born again. I pray they'd know that there's hope because you're God. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. Good morning, just kind of share some truth from the Bible about Jesus Christ. Speak about who he is. Speak about his love for us, his care for us. You know, he is the good shepherd, he's the great shepherd. He's the one that can care for us as sheep. God, give us guidance, give us wisdom, give us direction in our life. He wants to do that. He wants to comfort us, wants to encourage us. A lot of people today at their funeral, they want to have that Psalm read, Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Very sadly today, very few people pass in this place actually have God as their shepherd. The Bible says this about Jesus. He said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Friend, what's your life about today? If you were to characterize your life and say today, you know, if it was my funeral, what would they say about me? What would they say? You know, he loved his sports, he loved his family, he loved his job. Would they speak anything about God? Would they speak about anything of eternal value? You know, praise God, today God's given us a book that speaks about him. He's given us a book that speaks about his love for us. He gives us text like John 3:16, which says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God does not want us to go to hell today, but I'll tell you this, the vast majority of people today passing this way are on their way to the lake of fire. The Bible says, wide is the way that leads to destruction, many there be that go in thereat. Narrow is the way that leads to life everlasting, few there be that find it. It's because of this, people could go to hell without thought. Nobody today has to think about it to find their way to hell. Everybody's on their way to hell because the Bible says the wages of sin is death. There's none righteous, no, not one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every single one of us is a sinner. And so we're born into this world transgressing God's law. We're sinners. The punishment for our sin is hell. Nobody will avoid hell by accident. But the only way to go to heaven is to find Jesus Christ as your Savior. The Bible says, narrow is the way that leads unto life everlasting. Few there be that find it. For somebody to get saved, they have to begin to investigate. They have to begin to look at the claims of the Word of God, consider what God says about truth and about eternity. Jesus himself is called the way, the truth, and the life. He says of himself, no man comes unto the Father but by me. Your salvation today is not in a religion. It's not in being Christian. It's not in being baptized. It's not in, you know, reforming our life or changing our life or something like that. But what salvation is found in is a person. Again, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He's not a way, he is no way. He's not one of the ways, he's the only way. His name is Jesus. He died on the cross for our sin. He paid the price so that we could be forgiven. Well, friend, you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Has there ever been a time in your life where you personally bowed the knee before God and put your faith in the Son of God, Jesus Christ, that died on the cross for you? Well, I praise God today. I may not know the people that are passing this place, but one thing I do know is that God loves you. You might say to me today, Ben, how is it that you know that God loves me? Well, the Bible says about God's love for you, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Scarcely for a righteous man would one die, but God commended his love toward us. God demonstrated his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Every single person passing in place, again, as I said, is a sinner, but they're a sinner whom God loves. God is not against you, but God is against your sin because your sin has separated you from God. It's only through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that your sin can be paid for, so that you can be given God's gift of everlasting life. The Bible calls it being born again. It's a fresh start. It's a new start. The Bible says, without being born again, you don't know why it's entering the kingdom of heaven. Everybody's got to come to that point where we look at the cross and understand that God loved us so much that he sent his son, Jesus, to die on the cross for our sin. Well, friend, has there ever been a point where you did that? I did that as a child. My dad preached a message on hell, speaking about the place of eternal damnation, separation from God in the fire. And I thought, man, I don't want to go to that place. And I went to my dad's study afterwards, and he showed me the truth of the gospel. He showed me that I was a sinner, that the punishment for my sin was hell, but that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, died on the cross for my sin, that he paid the price so that I could be forgiven. As a child, I bowed my head and I asked Jesus to come to my heart, pray something like this, Lord Jesus, please forgive me of my sin and save me. At that moment, I passed from death into life by the grace of God. I received God's gift of everlasting life. Friend, if you've not done that, you're not prepared to die. The Bible says there's a point unto men once to die, but after that, the judgment. You know, there's a lot of people today, they're giving their life for a cause. There's a lot of people giving their life for the cause of climate change or things like that, or sexual impurity and things of that sort. And they go and they're bold in proclaiming and standing for that truth. I'll tell you this, we're the people today that will stand up for the truth of the Word of God. We're the people today that will take the cause above all cause, the cause that could save the life of somebody eternally, and stand up for that truth. I encourage you today, if you're a believer, be vocal about that. Be somebody that will stand up with the gospel, get tracts at work, testify to people about the Christ and the Savior and what He did on the cross for your sin. Take up the rainbow, the precious rainbow that God gave, that symbol that God gave, testifying that He would not ever again destroy this earth with a flood. When God sees the rainbow, He looks at that and He realizes again His mercy, that He's not going to destroy this world with a flood. The rainbow was never made for man to wave it as a banner for their sin. The rainbow is never made as something to taunt in the face of God and say, I'm going to be a sexual sinner, and it's okay, God, because I'm waving your rainbow. All that rainbow is a testimony from God to us that He's not going to destroy this earth with a flood. But I'll tell you, the Bible speaks about a day that's coming when God is going to judge this earth with fire. The Bible speaks about it in the book of Revelation. And the Bible says, though hand join in hand, the wicked shall not be unpunished. And I don't say that with joy this morning. I'm not out here as a doom and gloom preacher just enjoying preaching about sin and the punishment for sin. But I'll tell you this, I do enjoy preaching on it, because until we recognize our sin, we will not reach out to the love of God and the Savior. Until we own ourselves for what we are. Sinners in the sight of a holy God, sinners that have rejected God, rebelled against God, turned our backs on God, sinners that it's only the mercy of God that is giving us life, giving us breath. You know what? It would be a good thing today for us to bow the knee before God and begin to seek God. Begin to humble our heart. It would be a great thing for parents to begin to pick up a Bible and say to their kids, listen, instead of the telly tonight, we're going to take some time and we're going to read the Bible together as a family. And we're going to look for a good church on the Lord's Day. And we're going to go to the house of God. And we're going to begin to seek God. Let this 2024 season of change that's coming be a time where you look at your life and say, you know what? Maybe it'd be a good thing to begin to think about God. Drugs don't satisfy. Drink doesn't satisfy. Immorality doesn't satisfy. They get a temporary buzz. They get a temporary a joy, as it were. But it's empty. It is pointless. It hurts our health. It hurts our wealth. It's destroying our lives, destroying our marriages, destroying our families. We're the people that will wake up and say, you know what? Maybe it's time to seek God. Maybe it's time to get in the Bible, begin to consider who God is and understand His love for us and the grace that God offers to us and what grace is. It's a gift. It's not something today that you have to earn. You don't have to come to God and say, okay, God, I'm going to earn your favor by being religious or by being good, and I'm going to start to do all these things so that I can please you. It's not about that. But it is about the God of heaven changing our life from the inside out through the power of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, cleansing us with His blood that He shed on the cross, making us a new person in Him. I'll praise God today, for He's got the power to do that. God is about to change you from a profane person to a godly person. God is about to take you from a life of sin against God to a life of holiness. He can take you from being an ungodly person that maybe is cheating on your spouse, being unfaithful in your marriage, to being a faithful person within the bonds of holy matrimony, marriage, and honoring God in a family unit, and being a good dad, a good mom, a good father, a good husband. And God has the power to do that. I praise God for that today. You know, today, if you're living in fornication, you keep promising that person, I'm going to marry you. I just tell, you know, women today, just wake up and stop looking. Listen, after 20 years of a guy saying to you, I'm going to marry you someday, understand this, he has no intention of ever taking that vow and marrying you. You're far better to step away from that ungodly relationship. Begin to wait in front of God, honor God, and say, God, I need somebody that will be faithful. I need somebody that will honor me and honor you within the bonds of matrimony. And again, you know, it's very interesting in our society. We got people that will get in a parade for ungodliness and rejoice in sexual sin. But we're the people that will be honest about it, look at it and say, you know what, I really believe that's a good thing for a man and a woman to be married, not to live in fornication, not to get divorced, and to honor God within the bonds of marriage. Why is that so embarrassing? Why is that so laughable in our day? I'll tell you this, why it is. Because we live in a very ungodly day. We live in a day that loves ungodliness and hates God. We live in a day that promotes ungodliness and hates righteousness, that laughs at somebody that believes in purity, that laughs at somebody that believes in a good marriage and a good relationship, that laughs in a covenant relationship before God. We ought to be ashamed of ourselves today instead of ashamed of God. We ought to look at God and understand who He is, that He is loving, that He is powerful, that He has the power to change our life, to make our life what it ought to be, and bow before Almighty God. Instead of this, people bowing today before themselves. The number one thing that people worship today is themselves. They bow down to their God. You want to understand today why people love evolution. They love evolution because evolution says there is no God. I'll tell you this, evolution isn't true. I'm not looking today at the products of random selection or random things like that. I look at people that are designed. I look at people that are made in the image of God because that's the way that God designed. And I'll tell you this, there are people today having an identity crisis because they've been told that they're the product of random science instead of the creation of an Almighty God. Our identity is found in the fact that God made us. He designed us. The Bible says male and female created He them. Our birth gender was given to us by God. God designed us that way for a reason, to put us into family units where male and female could procreate. Basic science today testifies to us of that truth. You know, interestingly today, people say, Ben, I don't believe in God because I believe science, but I reject science when it comes to marriage. I reject science when it comes to life in the womb. I don't believe science when it comes to that, but I believe science when it rejects God. Can anybody see the fallacy of that reasoning? Can we understand today that the bias in the heart of ungodly man is the reason that we believe science when it's convenient, but not when it's not convenient to our idea? I'll tell you this, science is not right. Explosions don't make things. That's a false science. That's a false science that says cats have puppies or dogs have kittens or things like that. That's a false science. Animals report after the time. Guess what? That's what the Word of God says. Evolution doesn't say that. Evolution can't answer the basic question about life, and that is this, where does life come from? Life comes from life. That's observable, that's science, that's what God said. The Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. God designed us. God is the one that gave us life. That's why today, we ought not be bowing down to science, so-called. We ought to bow down to God and say, oh God, you're the great God, the God that designed us, the God that made us. And because you made us, you are lawgiver. You're not just lawgiver, but you're judge. And someday, my friend, we're going to stand before a holy God, and we're going to give an account for our lives. And it's not the Scottish government, it's not the educators, it's not social media that are going to defend us on that day. Nobody is going to stand with us. The only person that can defend us on that day is the Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, you have Jesus Christ as your Savior. Has the blood of Jesus Christ taken away your sin? Oh, there's plenty of people today who can say that are joining hand to hand against God. They believe that they can stand against God and say, we reject what God says about marriage. We reject what God says about life. We reject what God says about profanity. But I'll tell you this. I'll tell you this. No matter how much everybody turns their back on God, God does not disappear. Heaven and hell do not disappear. The judgment for our sin does not go away. And so someday, when we stand before God, what we will be on that day is not a sinner that's justified because we declared our sin to be okay. We'll stand there as a sinner ashamed before a holy God. Friend, are you ready to stand before God? My greatest desire as a preacher is I look at the mass of people that are passing this place today. I look at people and I say, by the grace of God, the greatest desire in the heart of this preacher is that every single person that passes this place be ready to stand before God. Greater than that, I would desire that you would know the love of God, the mercy of God, the forgiveness of God, the grace of God, the grace that God desires you to know of a forgiven heart, a cleansed life. Again, there are people today, they defend their sin, but if they stop and examine it, that sin is the very thing that's destroying their life, because that's what God says. Alcohol is not going to save you, it's going to destroy you. Gambling is not going to save you, it's going to destroy you. Immorality is not going to save you, it's going to destroy you, because that is what sin does. But Jesus Christ came to break the power of sin. Jesus Christ came, He died on the cross so that you and I, by His grace, could be forgiven. Oh, friend, today, do you know the love of God? Do you know the mercy of God? Do you know the grace of God that can cleanse you from the inside out? Do you know what the love of God that looks at me today and says, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. For your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. That guilty conscience that keeps you awake at night. If you're looking at your life saying, why am I destroying my life with drink, drugs, alcohol, gambling or things like that, the profanity that's in my life that is convicting you and making you realize how ungodly your heart is and how ungodly your life is, friend, today, you can know the mercy of God. You can know the forgiveness of God. I praise God today for the love that allows him to do that, the mercy that God has. You know, a testimony today to the mercy of God is the fact that there are sinners out here passing this place, myself included, but God in his mercy does not destroy us. God can take our breath away, and that's us. But God in his mercy has given us life, and he's given us our will, that opportunity to choose or to reject God. That's our choice. But I'll tell you this, it doesn't make rejecting God a right choice. It doesn't make turning our back on God a right choice. All things are not equal. There is such a thing today as truth. And truth is, there is a God. Truth is, I'm a sinner, you're a sinner. Truth is, the punishment for our sin is eternity in the lake of fire, but that Jesus Christ paid the price for our sin on the cross when he died on the cross to save us. And friend, if you don't know that, you can laugh at that, but when you laugh at that, it's just like those that mocked Christ on the cross as he died for them. And I'll just say this, he'd look at you today and he'd say these words, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You don't begin to understand. You don't begin to understand a holy God that loves you, a holy God that sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for your sin. The Bible says, scarcely for a righteous man would one die. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. I praise God today again as I look at the people that are passing by this place. I understand this. Again, God loves you, and God died for you. He paid the price for your sins so that you could be forgiven. You might look at that and say, Ben, I didn't ask him to do that. I don't really care that he did that, but I'll tell you this. He did that anyway because he knows this. If you die without Christ, you die and you go to an eternity in a lake of fire called hell, and it's away from God, away from the mercy of God, and there's no second chance. And the Son of God, out of love for you and out of obedience to his Father, he went to the cross for you. He went to the cross to pay the price for your sin. And again, we love this season of life. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Why at his birth did he speak about him being the Savior? Because even at his birth, the point was Jesus Christ came so that Jesus Christ could die. Again, a lot of people don't understand why did Jesus die. It's because the wages of sin is death. It's because the price for our sin meant that either we died or he died. He died for us to pay the price for our sin. Again, why would God love us that much? Why would he care that much about us? There are a few people today who would offer their life to try to save somebody else. And there are some people that have done that. That is heroic, and we honor them. We have remembrance on Sunday because of that, to honor those that gave their life for others, for liberty and for freedom and things like that. But there's nobody that was perfect, nobody that was righteous like our Lord, who died on the cross for our sin. The Bible says about that, all we like sheep have gone astray. He has turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Jesus Christ, when he died as if he was guilty of our sin. He was sinless. He was innocent. And yet he died and paid the price for our sin. The wrath of God was poured out upon Jesus Christ on the cross so that judicially you and I could receive forgiveness. There are some religions that teach if you say it to God or to Allah, sorry, that he has the power just to forgive you. That would be like a judge. You know, somebody says, I'm sorry to a judge. And the judge goes, okay, I forgive you. That God cannot do that. What God had to do, he had to take his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sins, to pay the price for our sins. He had to judicially make a way so that you and I could be forgiven. But I praise God for his power to do that. He has the power to forgive us of our sins. He has the power to cleanse us. He has the power to set us free. Again, a false religion that teaches that you could just do something and say something and that God would forgive you without a punishment being paid is a false religion. That punishment had to be paid. It was paid by Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ paid the price for our sin. Jesus Christ made a way so that you and I could be forgiven. It's through his shed blood on the cross for us. Friend, it's what that great verse in the scripture spoke about. John 3:16, when it said, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. At Christmas time, we're going to give some gifts. It's going to be a lot of fun. And we look at somebody that we love, and we want to give them something that's nice. There's no gift that has ever been given that exceeds the gift that God gave when He gave His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sin. Oh, praise God again for that message that the angels brought to the shepherds. Glory to God in the highest and on earth. Peace, goodwill toward men. It was the mercy of God. It was the goodness of God that looked at us in our sin, but sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for us, to make a way for us to be forgiven. Oh, the love of God, the grace of God, the goodness of God. You can pass this place today and say to you, there is nobody that cares about me. There's nobody that loves me. There's nobody that really is interested in the things of my life. I'll tell you this, yes, there is. There is somebody. He is Almighty God. God. He knows you like nobody else knows you. And He cares about me, my friend, today. The greatest desire in the heart of God is that you would come to know Him, not a religion, but a relationship. Not just truth about God, not just knowing about God, but knowing God in a personal way. Friends, it is possible today for you to have the grace of God. It is possible for you today to be forgiven, but it's not going to happen without you investigating it. It's not going to happen without you picking up that book, the book of all books, the Bible, and beginning to read it, begin to study about who God is and what Jesus Christ did as He died on the cross for your sin. Again, friend, the greatest desire in the heart of God is that you be saved. You might say to me, Ben, what do I need to be saved from? You need to be saved from eternity in a lake of fire away from God. The Bible says, I saw the dead fall in great stand before God. And the books were opened, and the dead were judged out of the books according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. You might say to me, Ben, why did Christ die? He died so that we don't have to do that. He died so that when you die, you don't have to go to hell. He died to give you His gift of everlasting life, to rescue you from the punishment of your sin. Jesus Christ did that. But friend, if you've never humbled your heart, never looked at the cross and understood that what Jesus Christ did, He did for you. Never looked at the Son of God and understood that He didn't stay in the grave, but that He rose from the dead, and put your faith in Him. If you've not done that, you do not have God's gift of everlasting life. The Bible says, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things that are written of you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that you know that you have everlasting life. Friend, you know today beyond a shadow of a doubt that if you die, you spend eternity with God in heaven. God desires you to know that. God desires you to have this gift. God desires you to have peace with God by faith in the Son of God, Jesus Christ, that died on the cross for your sin. Again, I praise God today you can know that. It's not something that you have to hope about or think about. It's something that you can know in a personal way. Again, it's not a religion. It is a relationship found by faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 There is a God in heaven today. He loves you. He cares about you. His Son, Jesus Christ, died on the cross for your sin. He paid the ultimate price so that you could be forgiven. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. It's not about being religious. It's not about saying those Hail Marys or confessing the sins of praise or things like that. It's about what Jesus Christ did as He died on the cross for your sin, that He paid the complete price for you so that you could be forgiven. I love those words of our Savior on the cross as He said, it is finished. It is finished being paid in full. It means that there's nothing left for you and I to do. It's not that we have to earn favor with God by trying to work our way to salvation. It's that we have to look at the cross and understand that Jesus Christ paid the complete price for our sin. A friend, if you've never done that, it's a wonderful thing to get saved. It's a new start. It's a fresh life. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, the old, all things are become new. You might look at your life and say, you know, to be honest, my life's pretty rough. Maybe nobody else knows about it. Nobody else is really aware that, you know, there's despair in your heart and your life. You're looking at your life as empty. You know, if you were to categorize your life, you know, what's the main thing in your life? It could be drink or drugs or immorality or things like that. Sport. I mean, it's just pretty empty. I'll tell you this, that's not what life's about. Life's about God. It's about knowing God in a personal way. It's about exercising the faith that God is willing to give to us and putting our faith in the Son of God, Jesus Christ, and receiving God's gift of everlasting life. It's about having a good marriage and a good family. It's about raising children in the fear of God, teaching them to worship God, not social media, not the ungodliness of our world, not the idols of rock and roll or wicked pop music or things like that. Those things are empty. They don't satisfy a lot of young people today. That's what their life is all about. Their life is completely empty. But I'll tell you this, it doesn't have to be that way. They can find Jesus Christ as their Savior. But what you got today, some people are beginning to wake up and begin to pick up a Bible and begin to read it, begin to understand the love of God, the mercy of God, the grace of God, and the goodness of God, the power of God. There's a God in heaven today. Oh, friend, do you know that God? Has there ever been a time in your life you humbled your heart, you looked at the cross and understood that Jesus Christ on the cross paid the price for your sins so that you could be forgiven? Jesus Christ is not just a good man. Jesus Christ is the God-man. His name is Emmanuel, which means God with us. Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. God became a man. He entered into his creation. The Bible says about Jesus, without him was not anything made that was made. He is the creator, designer, God. All powers and principalities and things like that, all things were created by him and for him. Again, who is he? He's God. Jesus forgave sin on earth. He did that. The Pharisees got upset. The religious leaders got upset. They said, who can forgive sins but God? Jesus Christ did, proving that he is God. You can't worship anybody but God. But who is worshipped in the scriptures is Jesus Christ. When he healed people, they worshipped him. When he rose from the dead, they worshipped him. When he ascended up into heaven, the apostles worshipped him. In Hebrews, God commands the angels to worship him. And in the book of Revelation, Jesus Christ is worshipped in heaven. Proving what? That he is God. Jesus Christ, God in flesh, came. Why did he come? Jesus Christ came to die on the cross for our sin. He came to pay the price for our sin. That sin that you laugh at, you mock, and say, no big deal, Ben. Right? I've used my body, I've used other people, I've used things in my life that I know are wrong. I do them anyway. No big deal, right? No. There's such a big deal that someday, if you stand before God in your sin, you have to pay for that sin for the rest of eternity in the fires of hell. Jesus Christ came and he died on the cross for your sin. He came and he paid that price because that is the price that God expects of us. And that is the price he exacts for our sin. He exacted it on his son at Calvary. He did it in a perfect way. The wrath of God fell upon Jesus Christ so that in God's mercy, God could forgive us. In God's mercy, he can offer us a gift of everlasting life. Friend, have you ever received it? Just like at Christmas time. You got to receive that gift. Somebody gives it to you and say, hey, it's for you. I bought it. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to work for it. You just have to take it. It's the same with Jesus Christ. You don't have to earn him. You can't pay anything to God for him. All you got to do is take Jesus Christ as your Savior. You might say to me, Ben, how do I do that? Well, the Bible speaks about it in Romans 10, 9 and 10. It says this, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Friend, has there ever been a time where you've opened your mouth and put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and prayed that prayer of faith and said something like this, dear God, I'm a sinner. I've sinned against you. My sin is worthy of eternity in hell. But your son, Jesus Christ, died on the cross for my sin. I'd like to receive him right now as my Savior. Friend, I'll tell you this. If you pray that in faith, believing the Son of God, God has promised, thou shalt be saved. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Friend, that gift is for anybody. It's not for select few. It's not for any specific ethnicity or any specific religious group. It is for anybody who will look at the cross and recognize that Jesus Christ died on the cross for their sin. Oh, friend, have you been born again? Have you received God's gift of everlasting life? Again, my greatest desire as a preacher of the Word of God, as I preach on the streets of Edinburgh, the greatest desire of my heart is that people that pass this claim would begin to stop living listless, begin to consider the claims of God, begin to consider the grace of God, the goodness of God, the mercy of God, begin to open Bibles and pick them up, begin to look for a good church that believes the Word of God and preaches the Word of God, and begin to investigate the claims of God. You might say to me today, Dan, I'm an atheist. I can never believe in God. I just say to you, the Word of God says this, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Just be honest with God. Say to God, God, I don't really believe in you, but if you do exist, prove it. And then I'll challenge you to do this. Pick up a Bible and begin to read it. Pick up the Word of God and begin to read the Gospel of John and read about the work that Jesus Christ said. And if you can be honest enough with God to say this, God, if you'll prove to me in my heart that there is a God that loves me, that died for me, that paid the price for my sin, that didn't stay in the grave, but that rose from the dead, God, I'll believe it. I'll tell you this, God is going to bring you to saving faith. The Bible says, if you seek me, you shall find me if you search with all your heart. Friend, there's a lot of people searching for a lot of things. They're searching diligently for that winning lottery ticket, and they're investing everything in it. They're seeking for that satisfaction and immorality, and they're giving everything to it. They're seeking satisfaction in drink, and they're giving everything to it. They're seeking satisfaction in drugs, and they're giving everything to it. I'll tell you this, none of those things satisfy. Where's the person that will seek after God? The person that will look at the Word of God and begin to consider the claims of God and the power of God to set you free. You know, praise God for that today. Praise God that there's a God that loves us. Praise God that there is hope that's found in Christ. Well, friend, do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Do you know Him in a personal way? Has there been a time that you personally put your faith in the Son of God and what He did when He died on the cross for your sin? That's what it's about. It's not about those things that are empty. Plenty of people today walk by and we can tell they've got addictions in their life. There's things that are in their life that they bow down to, they worship, they've got to have it. They're feeding it. It's never satisfied. But praise God today, there's a God in heaven that satisfies. Anybody that's been born again would testify of that great work of God in their life, that they've been given something that they never knew existed, something that satisfies and meets the need that's in their life. Jesus spoke about it as being the water of life. He said, you drink of this water, you'll never thirst again. Friend, I just encourage you today, if you never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, you need that. And praise God for that. Father, I pray today for the grace of God and the mercy of God for the people of Edinburgh. I pray, God, awaken hearts, awaken minds. Show your love to them in your mercy by the Spirit of God, convicting their heart, their sin, and their need of a Savior. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.